Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast.
Good morning, church family. Well, we are here celebrating in a new house. What's your favorite cologne? New. The smell of new. Thanks to all of you that have given and served and helped and worked to make this new sanctuary and actually a whole new complex here make it happen. And so we're excited. Over 20 years ago, when we began to call this Christian Faith North, Christian Faith Mill Creek, we had always envisioned something like this happening, and here it is. The Lord is good, right? So thank you so much. Thanks to Coco and Volley, our fearless leaders here in Mill Creek. And all of the Hawaiian team. The Hawaiian team wanted me to celebrate appropriately. So I got laid, which I'm not sure if that's appropriate. But now the pulpit has been laid. And so many people are just working hard, making church happen and making church grow and making church better. Our, what do we call him? Our building superintendent, our building department, Rick Wise, led the team. Sean and all of the audio video people made everything. And not that I was nervous, but for the last week, almost every day, I was like, so your equipment's going to work, right? So we're live in Federal Way. It's all working, and it's amazing. And so many people, Floyd and Sylvia have been here for about four different sanctuaries now here on this property. So, you know, you hang around another 20 years, who knows what's going to happen. But really, all of this speaks to our new series that we're starting today and to the message that we want to be sharing over the next couple weeks. And when I say the title, you're going to think about one word, but I want you to get a little bigger, to be a little bit more biblical in your worldview. So our lesson is entitled, The Generous Soul. And when I say generous, what's the first word that comes to your mind? Money. Everybody thinks money. Which is part of the story, part of generosity, but it's actually not the most important part. It's not the main thing. But it's the main thing that we all deal with on a day-to-day basis. Money. And finance is motivating us through school. It's causing us to establish our schedules. It's a big topic in our marriages. It's an issue with the children. And it just goes on and on. It's always a thing. But is it the main thing? Or have we let it become the main thing and take the place of the main thing? So what is the condition of your soul? Your soul is your mind, your emotions, your will. It's a part of your heart. Your heart is made up of your spirit and soul. Your spirit is born of God. Your soul is being renewed and built up by the Word of God. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 24, the book of wisdom says, there is one who scatters, yet increases more. There is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. The people who curse will curse him who withholds grain, but blessings will be on the head of him who sells it. So the generous soul speaks to not just what we give financially, but a lifestyle, right? An attitude, a way of thinking, a way of living. Your generous soul affects your marriage. It affects your parenting. It affects your career, not just the finance you make, but the people you are part of. Would you call yourself a generous soul? Don't say it out loud. Do you think you have a generous soul? When you're tipping at the restaurant, are you a generous soul? When they want a tip and they haven't done anything, are you a generous soul? All right, that's another discussion. Proverbs 11 in the Message Bible, interesting words here. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. You know, many people feel like their life is kind of shrinking. They don't have time. They're so busy. They don't have money. They can't afford it. And they just kind of get shrunk down into survival and day-to-day existing. And they're not really excited about life because they feel like it's not that great. Is the generous soul the way out of that position where you start living large, you feel like life is expanding and your world is larger and larger? Sometimes I read articles as people age, they start looking inward, they get turned inward, and I'm just trying to get by another day, and I just need, you know, the pension fund or the Social Security to survive, and I don't want to go here because, you know, it's too hard, and I don't want to go there because they have like four steps you have to go up, and I don't want to do that because I don't feel like it in those people. So their world just keeps shrinking. It's actually one of the causes, many believe, of dementia. But here in the Bible says your world shrinks because, what is the word in the Message Bible? You get stingy. That doesn't sound like a real Bible word, right? Not real King James type words. But think of that. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. Curses on one who drives a hard bargain. Blessings on all who play fair and square. So generosity is a lifestyle that starts with a generous soul. It's not just what you do with your finance. It's much more than that, isn't it? More than financial giving. Generosity affects family, friends, church, your economy in general. It's not really controlled by the world around you. It's controlled by your heart. What's in your heart, what's in your soul. You keep thinking it's the government, it's the Federal Reserve Bank, it's the corporations, it's those terrible billionaires. But God says, no, your economy is controlled by what's in your heart, what's in your soul. And Jesus said, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and he didn't mention whoever was in the White House or whatever the feds decided on the interest rates. You could prosper when things are going up. You can prosper when things are going down. At the same time, you can be poor when everything's going up, and you can be poor when everything's going down. It speaks to the heart. The generous soul trusts an abundant God that gave us an abundant world and came that we might have abundant life. Right? It's the mentality that we're running out of stuff. In the 70s, I had to wait in a line to get gas because we were running out of gas. Come to find out, not even close. It was just a political thing. We still got gas. How many stocked up on toilet paper a few years ago? Because we... It's the fear of people, right? It's the anxiety of people. It's the communication of the media and the politician. It's the you better watch out or you better vote for me and I'll save you from what's about to come, right? It's that whole, just that negative small world mentality. But the Bible said God is a big God who put us in a big world and designed for you to live a big life. So which one is it? I better stock up on toilet paper because we're going down. Or, you know, God's going to take care of me. He created this world. He loves me. He gave me an abundant life. Most of us know that scripture in John chapter 10, but do we have that kind of soul? That generous soul, that big heart, that abundant heart. The generous soul sees God, our Father, as the source of all good things. In James chapter 1 and verse 16, do not be deceived. Why does he say don't be deceived? Because you are. So he's trying to get us out of the deception, out of the lie, out of the thing that holds us back. Don't be deceived. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variable or variation or shadow of turning. He's always a good God. He's always a giving God. He's always a generous God. And if you think that a political group, a government, right, depending on what generation you're born into, you're born in a different nation or a different time, then there's a different government. If you think that's the source, you get deceived. And you start thinking, okay, this time, this guy, he's going to take care of me. And nothing really changes. Poor folks stay poor and rich folks keep getting richer and life goes on and we change political parties and we change political faces. And as long as we're focused on that, we're just surviving. But if we could look up to the Father who is the source of all good things and believe that God is our source, and that God can use this world. He can use a government. He can use a corporation. But those are not his controlled factors. He's bigger than all those things. Right? So when I was raised, you know, we were good. I never realized until later how my family, my parents, were so focused on what's around them. And so we regularly were taught, well, we can't afford that. And we were told things like this, we're not like those rich people. And the connotation was rich people are bad. Which if you think rich people are bad, those billionaires, someone needs to take them down. Okay, so if rich people are bad, then obviously you're not rich and never will be. Because subconsciously, you don't want to be bad. So if you believe they're bad, welcome to poverty. Right? And this is where many people get stuck. They have these beliefs that they don't realize are self-sabotaging. We're self-sabotaging because rich people are bad. I don't want to be bad, so I'm not going to be rich. So I'm a poor person. And somehow then we try to glamorize that way. You know, Jesus was poor. He actually had 12 guys taking care of him, and one was the accountant. And had houses everywhere that he went and fed multitudes of people whenever he wanted. I mean, the Lord did okay. And now he's sitting on gold streets and... So don't try to glamorize. Now, I'm not saying it should be a goal to be rich. Our goal is to be generous, to be a blessing, to make a difference in our world, to add to our world, not just take from our world. So God is our source. And think about the names of God. There's one, Jehovah Jireh. You've heard that before. Maybe you've sung that song. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Man, I wish I could do that Jewish dance, right? We got any good Jewish people in here? Show me how to do that. Maybe when I was 20. Jehovah Jireh, what does it mean? The Lord who provides. Jehovah, the Lord, Jireh, who provides. And so God calls him our provider. In other words, it's his nature. It's his character. It's not just something he does, it's something he is. Do you believe that? Do you look to him, or do you think it's the welfare check or the company that you work for? Because if you lose that job, now you've lost your source. No wonder people go through so much anxiety when they lose a job, because if that's your source, whew, life is scary, right? But what if Jehovah Jireh is your source? And he can use the government, use the company, but whatever happens, he's still my source. So I can change jobs, still the same God, still the same promise, still the same name. He's Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Right? I can go through the economic shift and keep a smile on my face and just be happy. Somebody say, what are you so happy about? Jehovah Jireh is my provider, right? And then there's another name of God, El Shaddai. Abraham called him El Shaddai. El, meaning God. Shaddai, meaning more than enough. The God that's enough and more than enough. Wendy quotes it quite regularly, the Lord or the God that's more than enough. But some of you don't serve El Shaddai. You serve El Cheapo. And he's not such a good God. El Cheapo, barely get by. You know, God doesn't want you to do, God doesn't want to give you what you desire, but he might give you what you want, what you need. He won't give you what you want. He might give you what you need. No, that's Mick Jagger. That's not the Bible. God, the Bible says God gives you the desires of your heart, right? And Jesus came, and Jesus always acted like Jehovah Jireh and El Shaddai. He always provided, and he always provided more than enough. When he fed the multitudes, how many baskets of food left over? When they were catching fish, how many fish they couldn't even fit in the boat? He's never El Cheapo. He's always the God that's more than enough. So Jesus promised to meet all of our needs and desires, not that we focus on outlandish and selfish desires, but God gives you the desires of your heart for your children, for your family, for life in general. In Mark 11, 24, the King James Bible said, "What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them. You shall have them." Matthew 6, verse 31. Don't worry what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall wear. All these things the Gentiles seek after. There should be a difference between the Christian and the attitude of the average person in the world. They say the economy, which means money, drives more votes than ideology or worldview or anything else. And if that's how the world thinks, it's not how we should think. Don't worry, that's what the Gentiles seek. But your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. Don't worry about tomorrow, Jesus said, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know Jesus? You believe in Jesus? Then God's taking care of you according to his riches in glory, right? And some people kind of have that attitude. Well, yeah, he said he would meet your need. Okay, well, all right, let's look at that. You're actually, what you need is air, water, shelter, a little bit of food, probably less than what you have. What else do you really need? Relationship, friendship. I mean, what if we're talking needs, you probably don't need a Harley. You probably don't need whatever. Okay, but he said according to his riches. If he's just talking about your basic needs, he doesn't need to tap into his riches and glory so you have air and water. No, he's saying what you need for the life he's called you to. What you need for your family, your children, in the world that you are now functioning. He will give you all you need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, right? So if God is our source and this is the kind of God he is, then it changes how we think about finance and how we think about relationships. And instead of everything is a transaction, I called you, now you should call me. And if you don't call me, then I'm not calling you back. No, we stop that transactional living and that kind of poverty mindset, and we just start being a blessing. We be a blessing. We just love and we give ourselves and we give whatever we have, and we're not always worried that we won't have enough, that we're always going to lack. The generous soul is a prosperous soul, and it sees life as a river, not a pie. Okay, this is big. This is going to be revolution for some of you, because you were taught in school a pie chart. And out of that pie chart, you had several slices. One slice was the cost of living, your rent or your mortgage payment or whatever. One slice is the cost of your food. One slice is your transportation. And then you go around the pie until you've spent all of the pie. And most people don't really get all that they need in the pie because their money runs out before the things, the item, the list runs out, right? So you pay the rent and you pay the mortgage and you gas up your car or you charge up your car, and then you don't have any money for clothes that month or for school stuff that month. So then you put it on the card. Right? And so we're told millions of Americans live behind because they have debt, right? They have their credit card to make up for what doesn't fit into their pie, which is their total income. So then you're just surviving year to year, month to month. You're trying to get by and you're kind of, you know, paying Paul and robbing from Peter, and and that anxiety starts affecting you. So this is the condition of so many in our world today, kind of living behind, not really feeling like there's provision, there's enough. And it's the number one stress on marriages. Isn't that interesting? Number one stress on marriages is not our relationship with God, our spiritual life, are we bringing up our kids in a godly fashion? No, it's money. It's not our health and are we staying fit and are we going to live long, healthy lives and are we feeling good and we're not getting stiff and sore. No, we're not worried about health. Number one, it's money. And we're in the richest country in the world. More options than anywhere in the world. But we're worried about money. Why? Because our soul is poor. It's not because there's no money out there. There's money out there. There's lots of money out there. So when your soul is poor, you live by that pie chart. And then the little slices keep getting taken up before you get all that you need. So it's frustrating and it creates anxiety and worry. But the Bible said life is not a pie. Life is a river. In John chapter 7, Jesus said, when you come to me, you'll be filled with the Spirit and the rivers of living water will begin to flow in your life. Rivers of living water. In the book of Genesis, there's a river flowing through the Garden of Eden. And in the book of Revelation, there's a river, the river of life through the middle of heaven. Nowhere does it say God will give you a pie. No, it's a river. What's the difference? Well, when you take a drink out of the river, it's still flowing. And the person right here can also take a drink. See, you think because that billionaire has so much money, you don't have any. Okay, shoot the billionaire. I shouldn't say that out loud. Do not do that. Get rid of the billionaire. But guess what? You're not getting any more just because he's gone or she's gone. Mom used to say, you should eat your sandwich because there's hungry kids in Africa. Well, are you going to ship it to them? Did you ever one time give to a hungry child? No, wasn't part of my family construct. And yet we still had the attitude that if I don't use what I have, it somehow affects them. Not the case. It's a river. You can get in the river. Kids sing a song. Jump, jump. Jump, jump in the river. Is that a song? Willow, is that a song? I think you sang that song to me 1,000 times. Right? So this river mentality isn't that I'm just going to waste it and just accumulate everything I can. But whatever I need, it's flowing. It's flowing out of heaven. God uses this world, but he's not limited to this world. Well, there were times when Jesus said, okay, what do you have to feed the multitude? Well, we only have one sandwich, you know, a few fish and some bread. Okay, now God's unlimited ability fed the multitude, right? So he used this world. He used the fish for the fishermen in their nets and filled their boats. But sometimes he would just do miraculous things. So that's still true. God can help, he can guide, he can get you to a better job, he can bring you to increase opportunities in this world, and he can just bring supernatural finances in a way you never dreamed possible. But if you live with a poverty mentality, well, it ain't gonna work. Well, I ain't never gonna get out of debt. Well, I'll never be able to afford nice stuff. How'd he get that car? That's not fair. You know, your poor soul keeps you in bondage to poverty. Look at 3 John verse 2. 3 John and verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So as your soul prospers, it starts flowing out. That river of living water starts flowing out to every part of your life. When I got saved, I was in a rehab center and I didn't have any money. And the first tithe check that I wrote here at this church almost 50 years ago was $15 because public assistance gave me $144 to be in rehab. So I asked, because I became a Christian right here, and I asked the director, Julius, could I tithe? I'd heard him talking about tithe. And he said, yeah, sure. It's interesting. No other resident of the rehab center thought about tithing. They only thought about what they needed. But somehow God was working in my life. So I started writing that $15 tithe check. And then Julius began to talk to me about not thinking poor and not thinking small and not thinking cheap. And I believed it. I embraced it. And so I go to Bible school. Wendy and I still don't have any money. Wendy was tithing. I think she worked at Fred Meyer at the time. She still loves Fred Meyer. If you ever see Wendy sneak out of church, she's going to Fred Meyer right here across the street. So, right, and so we don't have any money. I'm still in rehab. She's working at Fred Meyer. We're going to college. But we believe God is our source. And I can't even tell you stuff that happened. Somebody gave us a van along the way. Somebody gave us a car along the way. Somebody gave us sound equipment, musical equipment. We started traveling with our little music group called The New Version. Now they're known as The Old Version. And then we started Christian Faith. No, we had no money. Rented a little school, and we found land and borrowed money for the land, 10 acres in SeaTac, and built our first building the third year of the church. Now, we didn't have a home. We had little cheap, rundown old cars. But we believed God was our source. And we built that first sanctuary, and then now here we are again today. Still new sanctuaries. Still building, still growing. The generous soul causes your life to get larger and larger. But the poor soul shrinks you down to survival and just trying to pay the bills, just trying to get by. Are you with me? What do we call money? What's another word for money? Currency. Currency. What is a current? The river has a current. When the current gets too fast, it becomes white water. You know, it gets violent. But the current carries the water downstream all the way to the ocean, right? And that's gravity, just carrying it, causing a current. Currency is the flow of resources, the flow of financial ability. And right now, we use the American dollar, but that's nothing that's been around for a long time. Less than 200 years, we've had that currency. But there's always some kind of currency. There's always something. So next year, let's say next year, the U.S. dollar goes defunct. Oh, my God, we're freaking out. We're jumping out of buildings, and we can't handle it. Why? Because this world is their source. But for you and I, we're like, okay, whatever. God's got me. God will make a way. God will bring new opportunity. God will open new doors. God is my Jehovah Jireh and my El Shaddai. Right? So that's our mentality. And that's how we believe. And so we're not worried because we have a good God. And we believe in him. We trust him. Right? We're not playing. This is not a joke to us. This is real life to us. And some of you need to lean into this because you're like, yeah, but Pastor, I mean, out there in the real world, this is our real world. Our connection with God and how he works in every circumstance around us, right? Let's trust him. Let's believe him. Let's expect that his promise is true. He said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you so you will be a blessing, right? Whew, that's how we want to live. We're just believing God blesses us so we can be a blessing. Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.